I enjoyed Karis singing this morning in the choir. We need to really encourage the young people to sing and take a part. That's, you know, you get up here and look back through there sometimes, that's intimidating. I really could relate with Karis when she got up here and looked back and then wasn't so enthusiastic about it no more. Sometimes it's intimidating. You got to get used to it. But I do appreciate everybody that sings and takes a part. That's a blessing. Psalms chapter number 61, if you found your place, we'll read all eight verses, or just eight verses in the chapter, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, and I'll go ahead and read the title as well, to the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, for the privilege to be here today, for the break in the weather, a little bit warmer. And God, we do look forward to spring. We don't want to wish our lives away by any means, but God, we do appreciate the warm weather and the promise of spring. And Lord, it makes us think about revival. It makes us think about things coming to life again. And so we're thankful for the seasons today, but we're thankful more than anything for thy great salvation. And dear God, we can be saved by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask that you'd speak to our hearts today and really help us. God, help thy people, each and every one that's here today. You know all about us. Lord, you know the deep recesses of our heart. And what we think about at night and when nobody's around. Lord, I know David went through times of deep self-reflection. And dear God, sometimes it just overwhelmed his soul. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us from the Word of God and help us as thy people. I pray nothing would hinder in the service today, that you'd help us spiritually and mentally and physically. And I pray that your will would be done, that you'd speak to the hearts of thy people. If there's anybody here today that's never been saved, Lord, I pray you'd convict them. I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. Lord, just have your way right now. Thank you for every blessing of life. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, you pray for us this morning. You know we need the Lord's help. But I want to read again verse number 2. We'll start there this morning in verse number 2 of Psalms chapter 61. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than thy. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, the Bible says. And every Thursday night when I leave school over at Victory, over at Roan Mountain, leave over there about 9:30, somewhere around in there, I always listen to the same radio station coming home. There's a little program I can pick up from Roan Mountain right until I get into Newland. And so I listen to the same thing every week. And I've noticed in doing that, repeating week after week after week, that they play a lot of the same commercials. And I've noticed that I hear them about the same place in the road. And so I'm coming home and I have this routine that I listen to the radio station there on the way home, and there's one particular commercial. It's not really a commercial. It's what they call a PSA. That's commercials the government pays for. They're called public service announcements. And there's one of them that's talking about veterans that are returning from maybe Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere like that, talking about giving them jobs and a certain program. But in that PSA, that's what they're called, they talk about PTSD. How many's ever heard of that? PTSD. You hear about that all the time. It means post-traumatic stress disorder. And it talks about the veterans coming back. It talks about this PTSD. It talks about the signs. It talks about the symptoms that the veterans have. It talks about treatment, where they can go and how they can get it and things like that. And as I've listened to that over and over again, heard that same thing, the thought came to my mind one night as I was driving home, all that is just a broken heart. I mean, the world can give names to things and prescribe treatments and have support groups and all of the ways that the world tries to help. But when it boils right down to it, all that is a broken heart and somebody doesn't know how to deal with it. That's what that is. And as we study Psalm chapter number 61 and I begin to think about that and look in the scriptures and read about what PTSD was, I came across Psalms chapter number 61. As I begin to study this, I believe we could say, and if David could come forward in time or some people could go back in time, I believe that there were times in David's life where he suffered from what people would call today post-traumatic stress disorder. And I believe there's other people in the Bible as well that would be classified as suffering from PTSD. And so that's what I want to preach on this morning. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and apply that from the Bible and to the Christian life. So that's what we're going to look at today and think about. And it might surprise you what that really is. But first of all, from our passage of scripture, I want to give the picture of PTSD. Now, let's read verses 1 and 2 here in Psalms chapter number 61. The Bible said, David said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And what I want you to pay particular attention to is where he says in verse number 2, he describes this condition. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed. I dare say that many of you here this morning, you've had times in your life, maybe you didn't know how to describe it, but your heart was overwhelmed. With sorrow, with circumstances, with sin, any number of things can bring about a time in our life where we would say, honestly, my heart is just overwhelmed. I don't know if I can take much more. I don't know if I can stand much more. There's so much pressure upon me right now. The word there, if you studied it out and looked at it, it literally means this. It means to shroud about or to clothe in darkness. People, they describe how they feel at certain times in their life and they'll get diagnosed with PTSD and they'll say things like they talk about being in such a dark, dark place in their life. They feel like there's no reason to go on. They can find no positive hope in their life for even continuing on. And that's not just something that veterans go through. That's something that everybody goes through in their life from time to time. Well, you can get in a very dark place where there's no brightness, where everything is just so gloomy and so negative that you just can't see or any sunshine, anything bright in your life. Have you ever thought about David as being a veteran? But he was. He was a veteran. He was in the military service. He had experienced, and if you know anything about the life of David, he knew what it was to be in the battle. He had experienced, no doubt, many traumatic things and seen things on the battlefield. He knew what bloodshed was. He knew what it was to take the life of another person. He had experienced all of these things and saw it. He had lost many friends and family in his life through warfare. So he knew what it was to go through some of the most intense, serious, traumatic things that a person can go through. But here's what I like about the life of David. It's not just his military service. It's not just that he was a veteran and went through things. He was a real person and he went through all kinds. He had all kinds of problems apart from that. He had kingdom problems. He had all kinds of family problems. Boy, you might say this morning, and a lot of people, they say, boy, my family's really messed up. Well, you ought to read about David. Boy, you talk about problems in your family. He knew what it was to have problems in his family. He knew what it was to have personal problems in his life. He had moral failures. He had sin problems. He had problems that come up and that he had to deal with over and over in his life. David was a real person. David had real problems in his life. And sometimes in David's life, as we see here and other places in the book of Psalms, sometimes these problems, sometimes David just felt like that the waves was just rolling over him and his heart was overwhelmed and he didn't know what he was going to do. You ever felt like that? You ever been like that? There's the picture of PTSD. There is also the prevalence of PTSD. I studied about this and read all that I could as I was studying out this subject. And you know, PTSD, that sounds pretty scientific. Those of you that are in the military, you know the military, it gives letters to everything. Everything goes on. And so I suppose that's where this PTSD comes from, but it's nothing new. It's been around for a long, long time. When veterans came back from Vietnam, when they came back from World War II, they called it battle fatigue sometimes. They called it shell shock. That's how they first began to diagnose what this was. They seen these people coming back that had been in battle and had seen all these horrific things, and so they described it the best they could. Battle fatigue, shell shock, post-traumatic stress disorder. You say, what is that? That's exactly what it says that it is. But it is going through a traumatic experience that causes so much stress in a person's life that it just debilitates them. It can get them to the place where they just cannot function normally in society, and that it's everywhere. As I began to think about it, I thought I could describe it in three different ways. When we talk about the prevalence of PTSD, we could talk about the people of it. The title of this psalm says, A Psalm of David. If you know anything about David, yes, he had his problems. But the Bible also says about David that David was a man after God's own heart. You know that about David? He was a man after God's own heart. All of us have got problems. All of us have got failures. All of us have circumstances come into our life that overwhelm us. But David loved the Lord. In spite of everything, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. David, the Bible says, is the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was a Christian. We might put it like this. He wrote Christian music. That's what psalms are. They're songs. He wrote the majority of the Jewish hymn book. If anybody we could think this morning, if anybody would have their spiritual house in order and know how to deal with things in life, surely David, King David, who God chose and anointed to be the king over Israel, surely David would be one that didn't have these kinds of problems. But you know what? He did. We're talking about people that have dark times in their life, that have depression in their lives, that have stress in their lives, that feel darkness in their lives, that can affect anybody. I studied about this and read about it. 5.2 million people in America every year are diagnosed or suffer from PTSD. It affects men, it affects women, it affects children. Do you know women actually are the number one group that is that suffers from this kind of problems? And usually it is because they have been abused in their life, they've suffered some great wrong, some tragedy in their life, and they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. They're the number one group that suffers from it, not veterans. It's always associated, or usually we associate this kind of grief, this kind of darkness with a veteran, but women are the number one sufferers. Children suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Those who have been victims of some kind of disaster. Maybe everything is fine one day in their lives, in their home, in their school, in their neighborhood, and then the next day a tornado rips through and a lot of people that they know are killed, or friends, things like that. There's a lot of ways that you can have something in your life that, I mean, it just, we might say, messes you up for a while. Victims of natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, house fires, tragic accidents, and firefighters and rescue personnel. I've got a friend of mine who he used to be on the rescue squad, and he's telling about one time going out and a drunk driver had hit a car, and how it had caused a child to be thrown out of a car, and finding that little baby had died as a result of that. That things like that really bother a person. If we don't let the Lord help us in the tragedies that come about in our lives, divorce, a bad family situation, drug abuse, all kinds of things can cause people to just get in a place in their life. The people of it, it affects people. Tragedy affects everybody. Everybody can suffer from it. There's the people of it. There's the places of it. I noticed in verse number 2 that David said this. He said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Do you know there's nowhere you can go to get away from trouble? Job said, "Man is born a woman is few days and full of trouble." But a lot of times people, they think in their minds, well, if I could just go somewhere else, things would be different. If I could move to a different state, if I could move to a different church, if I only had a different family, if I had a different job, if I made more money, and all these things, you know what? You can change a lot of things, but only God can change your heart. You can run away from problems, but what you'll find is if your heart is not changed, they'll be waiting on you when you get there. David said, from the end of the earth, there's nowhere he could go to get away from these things. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, is what he said. There's the people of it. There's the places of it. There's the prolonging of it. Now, I noticed this as I was studying Psalm 61. Here's a hint about where David was in his life when his heart was so overwhelmed. Verse number 6, the Bible said, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life." This is not David as a shepherd boy. This is not David serving, and nobody even knows who he is in Saul's army. This is not David, the son-in-law of the king. This is not David running from Saul in the wilderness. This is not David as a young man. This is David, the king, we're talking about. He's probably at least in his 40s. He could be in his 50s. He could be in his 60s. And he's still having problems in his life that overwhelm him to the point that he just don't know what he's going to do. The prolonging of it. You think, well, I'll get over this. If I could just be a little older, I wouldn't have these problems. Don't be so sure. Might get darker the older you get. I don't know. I can only speak to so many years. But you talk to somebody older, there's the prolonging of it. David's at least middle-aged by now. And don't you think in David's life that even as the king of Israel, you would think he's the king. He's rich. He's got, everybody has to listen to what he has to say. David's got his house in order. Surely he's not bothered by things, but evidently he is. Don't you know there was days in David's life where he reflected back on his younger years and he thought about that little baby that he and Bathsheba had lost. You know the scripture there. You know how it affected David, and he fasted, and he wouldn't bathe himself, and he was clothed in sackcloth and ashes, and he wouldn't eat anything, and he prayed for God to spare that little baby, but God let the baby die. You remember that? And you know what David said later on? He said, I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him. But don't you know that David knew that was his fault? Because of his sin. Sometimes David sat around, think about that. David had a grown daughter. Her name was Tamar. You remember about Tamar in the scripture? Tamar was his daughter, and he had a son named Amnon. And Amnon and Tamar was half brother and sister. And Amnon got to lusting after his own half-sister, and he took advantage of her and sexually abused her. Do you know that? And it so affected Tamar, his daughter, that she remained desolate all the days of the rest of her life. She never got married. She never had children. What about ruined Tamar? And David, every day, he saw his daughter and thought about the grief and thought about the heartache, and no doubt David thought, that's my fault. And it overwhelmed him. He had a lot of problems in his life. Then later, Absalom, his other son, killed Amnon for what he had done to Tamar. And then later on, Absalom was such a rebel. And Absalom, boy, he should have been in line to be the king. He was such a rebel. Long-haired, went out. You know the story over there. And no doubt David thought many times about his own son that he loved so much, hanging in that tree and the blood of his life falling out of him there. I think it was Joab came by and killed him. Well, that really messed David up for a long time. He wept more over Absalom than he would if he'd have lost the whole kingdom. And many, many things in David's life, we could say, probably weighed heavy on his mind. Prolonged. I'm talking about the prolonging about this stress in people's life and a dark place in people's lives. You can look around today and think somebody doesn't have trouble. They've got it made. But you know what? Everybody has trouble. You're not the only one. I'm not the only one. I was reading in the newspaper a couple of days ago. Here it is, Super Bowl weekend. You'd think, man, all them players for the Seahawks and the Broncos, man, they've all got it made. They're rich. They're famous. They're playing in the Super Bowl. A lot of people would look at that and they'd say, they're living the dream, whatever that is. Man, they got it made. was reading a story, and it's telling in the Winston-Salem Journal about Demaryius Thomas. He's a receiver for the Broncos. He's one of the greatest ones in the NFL right now. But I was reading an article and it caught my attention. It said that his mother and his grandmother would watch the game from prison. And it told about his mother and his grandmother when he was a little boy, how that they had somehow gotten involved in drugs. They had been arrested, and how that they had, that the authorities had let his mother walk him and his sisters to the school bus stop one last time. That was, I think, in 1999. Somewhere around in there. Been a long time ago. Been in prison ever since. And he was talking about his mother and his grandmother and how that they would be watching from prison. And he was raised by his uncle, who was a Baptist preacher, by the way. I'll just throw that in. But his uncle said, I believe his Christian raising helped him get to where he is now. But I was reading that, and I read the story to Kim, and I told her about it. And I said, you know what? Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got problems. We watched that little movie last night about Gabby Douglas. She's a Olympic gold medalist gymnast in the, what was it, the 2012 Olympics. And you'd think, boy, she's first one that ever won the single and the team gold, and talked about how her life has changed. But you know what? In that movie, it talked about that how her father had left her at a young age, and her mother had had all kinds of problems and had to file bankruptcy and all this stuff. Everybody's got problems. Don't think you don't have problems. Everybody does. Don't think you're the only one. There's the prevalence of it. It's everywhere. Everybody's got problems. Well, that ought to make you feel a little better. But if you're in a dark place, that really doesn't help you much, does it? If you're in a dark place and somebody comes along and says, well, there's somebody else worse off than you, that just won't help them. I'm just telling you. What little experience in trying to help people I've got as a pastor, it won't help to say somebody else got it worse than you. And if you're in that dark place and somebody comes along and says that, you know that won't help you a bit. But I'm telling you today, it's everywhere. There's the prevalence of it. But look, thirdly, this morning, there's the prayer. Now this, we're getting where we can get some help. There's the prayer of PTSD. Verse 1, the Bible said, David said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. David knew where to go with a broken heart. He's a king by now. He's had a lot of problems in his life. And he knew when the overwhelming times come that he needed to go to God in prayer. He didn't go to a wine bottle. He didn't go to a pill bottle. He didn't go to a counselor. I'm afraid we have handicapped ourselves spiritually. We get used to going to other places rather than to the Lord. He said in verse number 1, hear my cry, O God. He's serious about this. He said in verse number 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Real, heartfelt, serious prayer is not talking to God for about 2 minutes and talking to everybody else for 2 hours. But isn't that about how we do things? We say, well, I'm just going to pray about it. And we tell God about something for about 45 seconds. Then we can tell somebody else all our problems all day long. And you know what? There's not a thing they can do about it. David knew about real prayer. God might let you go through some things in your life just so you'll learn how to pray. You ever thought about that? I know I was thinking about when our daughter passed away, Hannah. And we were down in Winston-Salem, and they came and told us in the room there. They said they were sorry, there's nothing they could do. And they let us go back into the pediatric intensive care unit. And there where they had been working on her, the nurses had taken her little body and wrapped her up in a little blanket. There she lay just as peaceful as you can imagine. And I remember us and our family that was there, we all went into that room and the chaplain that was there and the nurses that had worked on her, and we all gathered around her little body there. What can you do? Nothing you can do at that point. And the chaplain, she was a lady. You know about how I feel about that. She said, "I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray." Well, that's a good time to pray. I'll never forget, I said, "I appreciate that, but if it's all right with you," I said, "I'd like to pray." Boy, I tell you, we began to pray there in that little room. Hard, I'm talking hard time. You talk about traumatic. We began to pray there in that room. I don't remember ever prayer that I've ever prayed, but boy, I remember that prayer on that day. I remember God. I remember the presence of God coming down. Just like He wrapped His loving arms around us there in that room. God may let you go through some things just so you learn how to pray. Just so you learn how real the presence of God is, and how that through prayer, prayer draws it, prayer brings God into our present situation. I believe David knew how to pray. I believe David knew when his heart was overwhelmed what he could do about it and get some results. Get some help in his life. The Bible said in Jeremiah 29:13, it said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." God said, "You get serious about it, I'll be there. You'll find me with all your heart." All your heart. And I wonder sometimes how many times we really search for God with all of our heart. We get to that place where we say, "God, I really need you, really right now, got to have some help." And you'll find He's real. There's the prayer. Number four, look in verse number two. There's the protection of it. He said in verse number two, I like this, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Boy, I like that. He's the rock. He's the rock. David said, "I know where I need to get to when my heart's overwhelmed. I'm going to die if I stay here where I am, but God, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." He said in verse number three, I like this, "For thou hast been a shelter for me." Lord, you've been a shelter. You ever been out in a real bad storm? You ever been out where you just had to get somewhere to get inside? When you got inside, snowstorm, hard rainstorm, it immediately ceased. Oh, it was still storming, but you'd found shelter. That's how the Lord's presence is. He may not stop the storm, but praise God, He's a shelter in the storm. He said, David knew about that. David knew what it was that the Lord would be a shelter unto him. He said also, and a strong tower from the enemy. That's a hiding place. The enemy's still out there, but God can put you in a place where they can't get you. Hey man, isn't that a blessing? He said in verse number four, He said, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." I believe I can preach right there about the shelter of the church. Oh, people say, "Well, I don't need church." Well, let me tell you, I do. I do. I need church. I need to come together with God's people. I've been helped. I've been ministered to. I got saved in church. Now, you don't have to be in church to get saved, but when I was, I was. I thank the Lord for that. I've been to church sometimes where I didn't know if I could go on. And I didn't feel or detect the presence of God within a million miles of where I was. But God came through, spoke to my heart through some song, through some testimony, through the preaching of the Word of God. God got a hold of my heart, helped me greatly. David said, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." He said, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know, if you're going to get under the protection of wings, you'd have to get pretty close, wouldn't you? Jesus said to Jerusalem over, I think it's Matthew chapter 23, somewhere along in there, verse 37. He said, how often, he's talking about Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a chick, as a hen gathered their chicks under her wings. And ye would not. You ever seen the little chicks run underneath the mother hen? And boy, they just disappear underneath her. She's going to protect them. Hey, God, He'll protect you in the storm. He'll protect you when the enemy comes. David said, a chicken, I just don't see much protection in that. Get chickens out of your mind. We're talking about God here. He said, I'll get under the covert of thy wings. That's the protection we're talking about. There's the protection of the Lord. I wonder this morning, is the Lord really real in your life or just a good theory in your life? Is the Lord the very last straw in your emergency kit, or is He the first one that you go to when trouble comes? He ought to be the first one. I've said this before, some of you parents, if your children walked into your bedroom and caught you and your wife down on your knees praying, crying out to God, calling out to them, would they panic and think that the end of the world had come because they'd never seen you in a position like that? Or would they just say, Mom and Dad's praying. That's normal. That ought to be normal. That ought to just be something that wouldn't cause panic in your life and your children to run off and say, oh no, something really bad must be happening. Dad or Mom's in there praying. That ought to just be normal, that they know that you pray, that you're trusting in the Lord, that you're looking for the leadership and the guidance and the wisdom of Almighty God. Is He the one you go to? Do you really know what it is to trust Him and His protection in your life? Look in Psalms 46. Well, I was studying over here yesterday. That's just a few pages back. I like it all. Look in Psalms 46, verse number 1. It said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You say, preacher, my whole world is falling apart. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That means stop and think about that. Best I can figure out in the Bible, that Selah means just pause. That's a musical notation. Rest. Meditate upon what the Word of God says there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You ought to underline that. A very present. You know what that means? That is the opposite of absent. He's not absent in the time of trouble. He's very present in the time of trouble. He's very near in the time of trouble. He's very real in the time of trouble. David said, my heart's overwhelmed. I'm in a dark place and I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know the Lord's there. Isaiah 25 and 4. I was studying yesterday. It said, for thou hast been a strength to the poor. A strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm. I was preaching about that a minute ago. And it said, a shadow from the heat. Oh, does the heat ever get in your life where you just don't know if you can take any more? There's a shadow in the Lord. There's a place in the Lord where you can find some respite from the storm. There's the protection of the Lord. What a blessing that is. There's the prevalence. There's the prayer. There's the protection. But last of all, there's the peace. Now, I want you to notice back in chapter 61. There's the peace of David's problem, his PTSD, if we might say. He said in verse number 6, "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Now, have you noticed what a difference the end is from the beginning? In the beginning of this psalm, if I could just sum it up like this, he starts out and he begins writing here. He begins this song unto the Lord and he says, "Things is so bad, I think I might die." It's about what he's saying. But by the time he gets down to the end and he's had that good prayer and he realizes the power of the Lord, he says, "God's so good, I think I might live." Well, that's a big difference, isn't it? Have you ever started out the day thinking you just didn't know if you was going to make it? But God come by and made himself real in your life and you said, "I'm feeling a whole lot better now. I think I might make it by the grace of God." You know, Brother Dale said this morning, he's going to sing the songs. He said, "I had two picked out, but we'll just sing one." He couldn't have picked out one any better. Yesterday, all day long, as I was studying about this, I had that old song on my mind, "It is well with my soul." That's the song we sang. H.G. Spafford, he wrote that song. Late 1800s, he had lost his daughters in a shipwreck. He had lost his fortune through some great misfortune. Maybe even he wrote it a little bit after that, during the Depression. I can't remember exactly, but he'd had all kinds of trouble in his life. And God gave him that song in a very dark place in his life. And yesterday I kept rolling that over and over in my mind. That first line says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." I got thinking about that. That's two totally different things. When peace like a river attendeth my way, that's one thing. But then he says, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." He's talking about the great peace of God flowing through his life. And he's talking about the sorrows of life about to overwhelm him to the point where he doesn't know if he's going to make it all in the same, just same sentence, same stanza. It's two totally different things. And I thinking about that and meditating, I'd never noticed that before. But then he goes on and he says, "Whatever my lot that's taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Do you know only the Christian can experience the greatest tragedies of life and the greatest triumphs all at the same time. You can be lower than you've ever been in your life and feel the greatest peace and grace of God that you've ever experienced in your life, to the point that when the world would look and say, "They're down for the count," they'll never come out of that. The child of God can come along and say, "By the grace of God, I'm going to have victory over this. God's real in my heart. How'd you get through that, preacher?" That's the grace of God. The Bible talks about this in Philippians chapter number 4. It talks about, "By everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7, Philippians 4 and 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." had explained that, well, I'll tell you what, I don't think you could put it down on paper. I don't think you could put it in an outline and analyze it, and you couldn't run it through a science equation and say, this is how it works. It passes all understanding. The peace of God in the greatest storm, you can experience it. I can't explain it, but you can experience it. You can experience it. David said, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but by the end, he says, I'm going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. In fact, I'm going to live forever with God. That's what he said. It's going to be all right. And he said in verse number 8, so will I pray, so will I sing praise unto thy name. I believe in the beginning, he didn't have a song, but by the end, he said, I'm even feeling like singing praises unto God. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? We sing that song Amazing Grace so much, I think we don't pay much attention to it. But the grace of God's amazing. And David said, I'm going to pray, I'm going to sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows, is what he said. He knew what it was to have trouble in his life. He knew what it was to have overwhelming problems in his life. You know how it is this morning. If you don't, like Preacher Carl used to say, you just hang around. It'll come to your house. Life will not forget you on this matter. You're going to have problems. You're going to have traumatic things in your life. You're going to have overwhelming times where you don't know what to do. Sin in your life, you say, I'm never going to get out of it. Circumstances in your life, you're going to say, I don't know how I got here. And it's going to seem all dark and hopeless. But I'll tell you, there's something that'll help you in verse number 8. So will I sing praise. You get in that dark place in your life, try praise. Try finding something you can thank the Lord for. And I will say this, I don't care where you are or what you're going through, you can find something to thank God for. And if you'll find that one thing, you'll think of another thing. Praise will lift you up. Praise will cause the clouds to part just a little bit and some sun come through. And more praise will bring more sun. Just try it sometime. David knew the Christian life, you just don't get up and accidentally be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things that'll help you. Try praise. And he said, so I'll praise the Lord. There's the praise of it. I've been in dark. When I was a young preacher, I'm talking about a young pastor. I'll say this and I'll close this morning. I'll close with this. I started pastoring and people would tell me, I'd been preaching a few years, people would tell me things, problems. And in my youth, I thought to myself sometimes, they're just being a baby. They just need to tough it up. They're just not as spiritual as they ought to be. And I remember I hadn't pastored very long. I got in the deepest, darkest, dreariest, dullest valley I'd ever been in my life. There wasn't a thing wrong, nowhere, nothing on the outside. But I thought, I'm going to die. What's wrong with me? I prayed. I fasted. I read my Bible. I said, God, what in the world is going on in my life? I ain't never experienced this. I wouldn't say I was one that went through times of being depressed. Nothing like that. I sought the Lord. I went through this dark, dark valley in my young ministry. And finally, after a while, God gave me the answer. God said, so you'll know how to help people. So you'll know how to help people. So you'll have some compassion on somebody when they come and say, preacher, I just don't know. My heart's just broke. I don't know how. Well, I'm telling you, there's one in heaven knows. There's one in heaven knows. And He can help us through them times. Isn't that a blessing? He can cause just like the worst storm you ever seen. And it can be cloudy and dark for days on end. We think the sun's never going to come out again. But one day you wake up. Boy, praise God, don't that look good coming in the windows there? God can do that in your life. He can make the sun come out. He can do it. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I believe the Lord's speaking to somebody's heart this morning.